It's going to be split into three parts. First of all, your media sources. And then second of all, how do you pray about the news? Or what you read in the news. Lastly, we're going to split up into Sunday school classes and pray. We're going to practice what we preach. So, now I'm going to warn you right ahead, right now, I don't have a whole lot written down for part two about how to pray. Okay, practicing going from news events to prayers. Yeah. I don't have a whole lot written down about that, so I'm really going to rely pretty heavily on your input. So be thinking about that before we get there. And okay, we'll have announcements at the end before we split into classes. And I might forget, so you'll have to remind me if I do. All right. First question, why do you read the news? Interesting. Wait, are you saying it's for entertainment? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. It sounds a little weird to say I read the news for entertainment, but I read history for entertainment. And the news is history one day old, right? Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good answers. Thank you. Next question. Do you trust the mainstream media? Raise your hand if you think they're generally trustworthy. They're right at least 50% of the time. I don't know. Mainstream. I'm afraid I can't. See, we don't, you know, in most groups that would just be the news on TV. We don't have TV. We do have internet, and every day there's a little less distinction between TV and internet. But that's a different conversation. Yes, Eric. Mm-hmm. It allows me to trust that it's somewhat not the actual event is that if I think about that question, I think if I know where they're coming from, the reader I call at least have a point to start worrying myself too as it relates to my value. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're saying understanding their bias understanding where they're coming from. Okay. Well, okay, when I say mainstream, I'm mostly talking about the
big corporations, corporate media. So raise your hand if you think they're generally trustworthy. All right, now raise your hand if you think they're generally not. That was split almost 50-50. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, there's a difference between the facts and the way it's reported. Yeah. Here's a graph I found. Trust in the media by age. The dark green line is people 18 to 49 years old. The light green line is age 50 or older. This is from Gallup. So it shows a pretty sharp decline in trust in mass media among the younger people. I think that poll is interesting. So as you can see, trust is declining, and a lot of media outlets are suffering a decline in viewers also. And I'm not sure why. I think part of that is competition from online sources, particularly social media. And it kind of seems to me like some of the media outlets are getting desperate and becoming a little more sensationalized. Their stories are becoming a little more sensationalized just to hold on to viewers. As I was thinking about this topic, this is the verse that came to mind. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I think we need to be wise and discerning, but also gentle. And here's what I mean by being gentle. If a story makes you mad, you're more likely to share it. That's just the way it works. And now, I know I'm supposed to be talking about media and not social media, but so many news stories are shared on social media, it's really impossible to talk about the news without mentioning social media. And stories that get people emotional are stories that get shared. More likely to get shared. And so that's what I'm talking about when I say gentle as doves. Let's try really hard to resist getting caught in that outrage cycle. Okay, not quite ready for that one. Be really conscious of how the news affects you mentally. I'm not saying only read things that make you happy. Just be really conscious about your mental state. If you feel yourself getting angry, you're probably being manipulated by the story somehow. So just pay attention to that. Another thing about social media is a phenomenon that I call cheap virtue, and that is, You write a post or share an article about some injustice, something that's made you mad, and you spend a couple minutes sharing it, and then you walk away thinking, well, I've really done something for the world. And you really haven't. It's an easy way to feel good about doing something without really making much of an impact. on others. So just be aware of that. Okay, now I want to talk about bias. I know that's already been mentioned. And bias and how we read the news. First of all, understand your own bias. If you hear something that supports your existing belief, you're more likely to believe it. Likewise, you dismiss something that doesn't match your beliefs. It's good to occasionally seek out sources that you know you're going to disagree with. Jordan Peterson has a quote. I've heard him say this more than once. He says, "Assume that every person you disagree with knows something you don't." I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. You can always learn something from other people. Be aware of your sources' bias. Gerald Celente calls it unspinning the spin. Recognize the angle that they're coming from, and try to look behind that. Another thing is frequency bias. When there's a big story in the news, media will report more of the same stories, creating the impression they're happening more often. I have noticed this several times. Remember the East Palestine train derailment? That happened. Was it just last year? I think fall, thereabouts last year. Horrible toxic waste spill in East Palestine, Ohio. After this story was in the news, I started reading more stories about train derailments. And if you weren't really aware what's going on, you could ask yourself, why are so many trains derailing all of a sudden? And it's just that the media started reporting train derailments. The Federal Railroad Administration has reported an average of 1,475 train derailments per year between 2005 and 2021. That's four a day over the United States. And most of those don't make the news. I mean, if you've lived here any length of time, you remember two train derailments, Partridge and Arlington. So watch for frequency bias. Yes, sir?
There's another phenomenon. The search engines notice that you clicked through on the first one, and they start feeding you that kind of thing because they think you're interested.
Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't even written that down, and I'm really glad you bring that up. Yeah, that is a real thing. You know, and while we're talking about search engines, I would encourage you to find something other than Google search. They are pretty biased. They've been proven to suppress stories that they don't like. I should have done a little research, but DuckDuckGo is another search engine. Actually, I think they're not quite trustworthy either. I'd probably recommend Brave there's a Brave makes an entire browser that you can use to browse the internet. last year there were a number of stories about fires at food processing plants. Do you remember reading those? Maybe it was more of a Twitter thing. I have to confess I do get a lot of my news from Twitter. I'm not recommending you do that, but it's the way I do it often. I'll just say Twitter is what you make of it. It all depends. You get to choose who you follow, and you get to choose who you want to argue with, and so it is what you make it. But there was a rash of stories about fires at food processing plants, and some people were all worked up about what's happening. Is our food supply under attack? Is this a conspiracy? Well, there are 36,000 food processing plants in the United States. Every year, some of those are going to burn. And after a while, those stories just kind of disappeared, and the mob, you know, was off to the next thing. One of the things that really drove me crazy about mainstream news was the way they attacked Donald Trump. Now, I am not a Trump supporter. There are plenty of things you can attack Trump for that he actually has done and said. But I was flabbergasted how dishonest the media was in attacking him. And in my opinion, they just destroyed their own credibility in their vendetta against Trump. Do you remember the Fine People hoax? Maybe you don't even know it was a hoax. There was a protest in Charlottesville, Virginia, I think 2017. It all started with a debate about whether to remove some Confederate statues. Or maybe it was just one, a statue of a Confederate general, which I actually support. I think it's probably a good idea to get rid of those statues. But anyway, that discussion about the statue attracted some very unsavory people, and there were protests. There were white supremacists and racist groups protesting in Charlottesville. And by the time it was over, a vehicle ran into a crowd of people and one lady died. So Trump was being asked about this, and he said this quote: "You had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides." And what he was talking about there, both sides, he meant both sides of the debate about tearing down the statue. And a few minutes later in the same press conference, he clarified his words. You had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and white nationalists because they should be condemned totally, but you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. The media took the first quote and ran with it. And they started saying, Trump said the Nazis are fine people. And that was just the narrative. And they repeated the hoax so often that it just became kind of established truth. And most people have never heard the quote in context. And if you want to read the whole thing, I got this from PolitiFact. Anyway, there were other things the media really dishonest things the media did. I thought this was one of the most egregious examples. Remember that guy? The guy in the MAGA hat is Nick Sandman, and he is with a group of Catholic high school boys. They were on the plaza of the Lincoln Memorial on January 18, 2019. There were two separate marches, the Indigenous People's March, which had the purpose of raising awareness of Indigenous people's issues, and the March for Life. So the Catholic boys were there for the March for Life, and they were just about ready to leave. They were standing there waiting for their bus. And then a group of five black Hebrew Israelites stood in a row shouting scripture from red books and taunting passersby. I don't know what the black Hebrew Israelites are. I didn't go into that. But as the students gathered there, the black Hebrew Israelites started to taunt them. And then says, in response to these taunts, the students performed school spirit sports chants, including their version of a Maori Haka. That is some sort of chant. I think it's a tribal chant from Australia or New Zealand. Anyway, so I think you could say the boys were guilty of being a little too loud and rambunctious, but they are high schoolers after all. Nathan Phillips on the right approached the group and began beating his drum. Well, a short video clip of this interaction made the news, and people flipped out that these Catholic boys wearing MAGA hats were taunting this Native American, this poor Native American man. And like I said, outrage spreads. This one spread like wildfire for a day or two. And then more video clips surfaced showing the whole interaction, showing that Nathan Phillips approached the boys. The boys did not approach Nathan Phillips. And you look at the smile on that guy's face, it either looks like a smirk or an uncomfortable grin. You know, it all depends on your pre-existing, you know, it's confirmation bias. All depends on your pre-existing notions. You can read it either way. Anyway, so it was a real fiasco. Nick Sandman and I think some of the other boys sued a whole bunch of media outlets. And Nick, he's not allowed to talk about it, but I'm sure he's won millions and millions of dollars for being slandered in the media. So I bring up this story just to show it, what is the saying? The lie could make it halfway around the world before the truth gets its shoes on. Here we have such a toxic brew of a short video clip taken out of context, outrage virality, and then when the real truth came out, people realized what was going on, and it just went away. Anyway, so yeah, let's just be really careful. We don't fall into that mob spirit trap. I think one of the worst things our media has done is championing our military-industrial complex's illegal foreign wars. The media is supposed to be a check on government power. It's supposed to challenge and investigate the government's claims. But in the last few decades, it has failed miserably at that, and it just repeats the government's party line. This is, it's Colin Powell, right? Yeah. And I believe he has a tube of fake anthrax, and he's saying how bad this much anthrax could be. This is when the government was trying to persuade the public that Saddam was developing weapons of mass destruction. And you remember how that went. The military invaded the country, and they didn't find the WMD program. Now, here's an interesting fact that I'm guessing most of you have not heard about. They did find chemical weapons. But do you know why you didn't hear about that? How many of you know that United States forces found chemical weapons in Iraq in the early 2000s? One? Only one? Okay. They were leftovers from the Iran-Iraq war back in the 80s. And these weapons had been assembled with components bought from European companies. And they knew exactly what Saddam was doing with them, but they were willing to sell him components for chemical weapons because they wanted Iraq to win against Iran. And there were American troops who suffered illness from accidental poisoning from chemical weapons they found. But the media wouldn't talk about that much. It didn't fit the narrative. I got that from a New York Times article. So good on them for reporting that story. I think the story was from 2014, about 10 years after the fact. Now, when Russia invaded Ukraine, boy, I'm running out of time. When Russia invaded Ukraine, there was a barrage of anti-Russian, pro-Ukrainian propaganda in the media. Do you remember noticing that? I noticed it. It was just a flood of propaganda. And it really... I could see it. I could see there was propaganda. It just made me really skeptical, and I've learned more about the situation since that has confirmed my skepticism about that. But I'm not gonna get into that at this moment. So I've reached the point that I think mainstream media is hopelessly corrupt and dishonest. And I don't think I'm being too cynical. They've worked hard to earn this reputation. Sure, a lot of the stories are true. They publish a lot of facts, but they've proven over and over again they're willing to lie when it suits the agenda. So I think it's really important to seek out independent journalism. We're living at a really interesting point in history. For most of history, information was scarce and expensive. The printing press was invented about, 500 years ago? Maybe 600. And for most of the time since then, books were really expensive. And so we're right now we're really living in a golden age of information, I think. Digital technology particularly has made information so readily available that we now kind of have the opposite problem. It's like drinking from a fire hose. There's so much information out there, it's hard to filter it. But if you have the discipline, I think it's never been easier to be well informed than it is now. Here's a website that I like. I'm sorry to say I don't spend much time on it. Sometimes I'll follow a link from email. How many of you have heard of Substack? Okay, good. Substack is a platform for independent journalists. It's it's a little bit like a collection of blogs. The writers who have a Substack account can set their own price. They can make articles free. They can charge a monthly subscription, and they can set their own price for that monthly subscription. These are three journalists that I think are reliable. I'm a little hesitant to start naming names. Obviously, I'm not going to agree with everything they promote, but Glenn Greenwald, Matt Taibbi, and Barry Weiss are three that I pay some attention to. Glenn Greenwald helped to found The Intercept, and he left The Intercept several years ago because of their dishonesty. He realized the company was going the wrong way, so he left the company that he helped create, which I think says a lot about his integrity. Barry Weiss has a podcast. It's called Honestly with Barry Weiss, where she interviews different people. Breaking Points is a podcast I occasionally listen to. They publish about three times a week. Their one host leans conservative, one host leans liberal, and they discuss current events in a respectful and grown-up way. It's really refreshing to have that kind of a perspective. Several of you contacted me with suggestions. I really appreciate that. Dailychatter.com, Miriam recommended this to me. It's a daily email, right? Yeah. And it does have a subscription cost. I think it's $30 a year, which is a pretty good price. Do not cover U.S. politics, sports, or entertainment. That sounds like a breath of fresh air. The Pour Over. Linda Rose recommended this to me. This is also an email, right? Okay. Yeah, and it's from a Christian perspective. It is free, isn't it? Yeah, okay. 1440.com, this is a daily email. I have subscribed to this. It's free. I've subscribed to this one for quite a while. I usually don't read it. The name 1440, I think, comes from the year the printing press was invented. And then, you know, when I was studying this, I just happened to think about the Voice of the Martyrs. Didn't we used to get a newsletter in the church mail? Was it church mail or the postal mail? Postal for you. Okay. Maybe I just happened to think about Voice of the Martyrs, and you know, maybe my parents subscribed to it, and I quit seeing it when I moved out of the house. Maybe that's what it is. But if you want good, relevant news, I think news of persecuted Christians around the world might be some of the most important news you could read. Okay, I am really running out of time here. It took me longer than I thought. So, moving to part two. your news-related prayers. What are your suggestions on this? How do you pray about the news, or how do you wish you would pray about the news?
Second is that God, who holds the king's hearts in his hands, would accomplish what he wants to among the nations.
One of the things that is negative about having so free access to so much news is what they call compassion fatigue. And it comes from depersonalizing the stories. If there's a story of a person who is suffering, you kind of relate. And when there's so many stories of so many people, it's just kind of hopeless. One of the things that I discipline, a ritual, if you will, that I got from my father and don't practice as faithfully as he did, when we hear a siren, I simply pause and pray aloud, Lord, bless those who are in need and those who are helping them. And I don't know who that is, I don't know where that is, but it is people.
Yeah.
And just to make an effort to make the news story, Russia, Ukraine, it is people. Mm-hmm. It is families who've lost a husband and a brother, and to discipline ourselves to think of the people and not just the magnitude.
That's very good.
Tragedies, I pray that people will come to know God.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to pray that we as kingdom people let our light shine in this dark world. We don't expect anything else from the news media, right? We don't expect anything from the power to that be. We know our God rules over all, and we're part of another kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can pray that our trust in that, and that his will would be done.
Yes. Yeah, those. Thank you. Those are all very good suggestions. I was a little conflicted about this because I was thinking, you know, we have so many needs right around us, people we know. Should we even spend our prayer time praying about people on the other side of the world? Obviously, we should pray for both, but you know, how do you find that balance? I'm still not sure. I did word searches in the New Testament for pray and prayer and prayers and intercession. I think it was those four words, and most of those passages were talking about praying for yourself or the people in right around you. Obviously, here's one. to pray for your government. First of all, pray for everyone, and then pray for your government rulers, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That second part of verse 2 is really important. It doesn't say, so that my favorite candidate will win the election. It's just so that we can live a good life.
Second reason to pray for the kings is that all men would be saved.
Yes.
And so maybe it's that our country could be open, but the gospel would keep going out and go out and so on, would be part of the that kind of prayerfulness.
Yeah. Thank you. This is the first two verses of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. After this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It can be tempting sometimes to live with this sort of a resigned fatalism that, you know, earth is just corrupt, and so we're just waiting until we can get to heaven. And that is clearly not what Jesus taught. Jesus was all about bringing God's kingdom down to earth. So I believe that is how we should pray. Pray that God's kingdom will come down to earth. Lastly, if you find yourself worrying about the things you read in the news, this passage isn't talking about the news, but it is talking about worry. Don't worry about things you can't control. That, I believe, includes the things you read in the news. Don't worry about things you can control, but in prayer, you can take those worries to God. And then here's another verse of the same. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Okay, and that's the last one. Okay, and I already mentioned this, but I want to leave you with this final thought here. I thought about the rich man and Lazarus. You know, we don't really know anything else about the rich man except that he was rich and he ignored the beggar right in front of his house. The rich man might have done good things for his community. You know, We don't know. But the main point of that story is he ignored the man right in front of his house. So let's be really, my closing thought here is let's be really careful that the news, the world news, does not drown out the needs that we have right in our community, right here. We will transition now to the final part of our evening, which is prayer in your adult Sunday school classes. The children can just follow one of their parents. We will pray for, let's say, 12 minutes, 20 till about 20 after. If you want to go longer, that you can do that. You know what, let's say it's going to take some time to gather. Let's say 25 after. Pray about the things we've talked about. And I encourage you, if you finish before 8:25, try to keep your voices low. And then at 8:25, you are dismissed from where you're sitting. So let's gather. Yes, yes. Oh, yep. Thank you. Announcements. Okay. All right. You are dismissed.